Well, I wasn't planning on sharing here in this meeting, but that really provoked me to share a testimony with you briefly. And I think you'll see why as we end up this testimony, how it tied in with our brother sharing here. Some years back, quite a few years back, my family and I were living in a little village called Bochil in the mountains of Chiapas, way down in southern Mexico. Real remote village. And it was a real awesome time in our lives. It was a real good time. We was only in that village for 1 year, but I guess it was probably some of the highlights of my life as far as prayer time goes. I just had some real special times of prayer during that year. And we was trying to reach these Indian tribes, that people that were really hard to reach. And they would run from you and you'd go up to talk to them and stuff like that. And anyway, so we was doing a lot of praying, you know, to reach these people. And God did do a work eventually. But because he knew I was so hungry to see people saved, he did a special blessing that time that was just, it's been real awesome as I reflect back on over the years and realize the sovereignty of God in all of this. And our God is so sovereign. He's so wonderful. I just like to share this testimony so you can realize just how God prepares people and the way he works in their lives to bring them to him. We were there in Chiapas, and one night there was a knock on the door. It was late, and it was probably 9 o'clock or so. You know, it was raining, and it was El Presidente. That's like the mayor of the town, the small town there. And he had this little gringo, this young guy, a young American guy with him. And he says, I picked this guy up on the road, and he can't speak Spanish, and I couldn't understand him. He says, I brought him to you. You know, I thought you could maybe help him out. He said, I think they're broke down on the road. So I asked the young man his name. He said, my name is Charlie. And I says, well, welcome home, Charlie. And he told me later that was the sweetest words he'd heard in a long time. But anyway, so Charlie came on in and explained their situation. They were broken down on the road. But let me tell you how they got there. He was traveling with a friend named Tom, and Tom was from Colorado, and Tom had, you know, been smoking pot and just into drugs and for years, and his wife finally couldn't take it anymore, and she left him, and so Tom just decided just to go off on a big vacation, and he went clear down to Costa Rica, and he ends up down to Costa Rica just having a big party and carrying on. And then there was another, this Charlie, and Charlie had been from the eastern side of the United States, but he had moved over to Arizona, and he worked in Arizona and bought him a new Fiat, and he decided to take a vacation, and he was a pot smoker too, and liked partying and all this stuff, and so he takes off and goes to Costa Rica, and these two guys meet down there in Costa Rica, and what do? Well, they party, you know, and they party, and they party, and I don't know if they were running out of money or what, but they just partied out, I guess. And they said that they sobered up and they felt so horrible, you know, sick, that they had partied so long that they realized that, you know, if we keep doing this, we're going to die young. They really sobered up, literally, and they decided that they had to quit this. So they made a pact between themselves that they would drink no more and or take any more pot. And that was, you know, a big step for them because they had both been taking drugs for years. And Tom especially was having a real hard time with it. But they decided to travel back to the U.S. in Charlie's little new Fiat. And they had these little pup tents that they sleep in at night. And Tom was having real withdrawals, you know. He was just having a hard time. He was just kind of shaky. And he just felt so lost. He just didn't know. Drugs was his life. He didn't, you know, he was just totally lost. Nothing was there for him. And one night they were in this pup tent. He was sleeping in his tent and he was wide awake. He couldn't sleep. And he's just, you know, kind of crying out, but he don't know what or who to or what, you know, he's just going, what is there? What is there? He was just so lost. And while he was in that state of mind, he said he was sitting up in his sleeping bag, wide awake, with his eyes open, but he had this vision. And when the vision came, it was just a sweet, sweet spirit and just comforted him, and he felt so good. And all he seen was this white house with light blue writing on it. And he felt so comforted by that. And then he was able to sleep, and, you know, and they went on their journey, and they came on up out of Central America and come up into Southern Mexico, and they were going to go up through Central Mexico, but then they decided at the last moment just to go over to the Gulf Coast, you know, and just check it out and go up that way. Well, to do that, they happened to go on this back road that we were on. Very few people ever take that road. It's real, real crooked, and it's just not advisable to go that way. But anyway, they went that way, and they traveled along in this new sport car, this Fiat, and all of a sudden, Charlie looked down, and he said his oil pressure gauge just went boom to the bottom. You know, he said, "Oh wow!" He shut it off real quick, and turns out there's a, you know, a mechanic there that helped him find the problem. It had a broken oil pump shaft. Well, that's like the heart of the car, you know. It doesn't happen very often, but the shaft broke. So they said, "Well, can you fix it?" And the guy says, "No." He says, "I don't have any parts." He says, "Well, I'd have to order it from the States, and it'll take a long time." He said, "Well, can you weld it or anything?" He said, "Yeah, I can weld it," but he says, "It won't hold." He said, "Well, weld it." So they welded it. They went about 20 kilometers, and it broke down again. And that's when, you know, they had brought me, Charlie, to the house. So we went, I took Charlie up the road to get the car, and on the way up, I says, "Charlie, you ever read the Bible?" He says, "Yeah, matter of fact," he says, "I went to a Christian school when I was young." I says, "Really?" I says, "You like the Word of God?" He says, "Yeah," he says, "I especially like those words in red." I thought, yeah, the Lord's working with this young guy. You know, I thought, yeah, he's probably going to get saved. And so I shared the gospel with him that night a little bit. And we went up and got the car and found Tom. Tom was kind of sick. He was in, run a little bit of a fever and stuff. But anyway, we brought them back the car, towed the car down. And they came in, took showers, and went to bed and stuff. And the next morning, we're having breakfast. And Tom's sitting there, you know, and I hadn't talked to Tom yet, but you never seen such a sad look on somebody in your life. His face was just all, you know. He looked so sad, and he's just kind of sitting there. He just eating breakfast, and he didn't have anything to say, no comments, no nothing, you know. And I looked at him. I said, "Tom, you know what you need?" He goes, I said, "You need Jesus." And he just kind of woke up. And he's like, "Come on, tell me more," you know. And so I told him more. I just started sharing Jesus with him. And the more I talked about Jesus, the more he opened up. He just started brightening up. You know, I mean, it was just amazing. I never seen anyone so prepared in my life. It was just awesome. And I just kept sharing Jesus with him. And you know, and I would, then I start talking about repentance and lordship. And he's going, "Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh." I thought, he's not understanding. This is too easy, you know. Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life, Tom. He wants to tell you what to do. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I said, "Are you sure you're getting this?" And then he said to me, he says, "Where else could I go?" Of course, we both started crying. We both started weeping. And we prayed. And it was pretty awesome, you know. Yeah, we just thank God for working in our lives. And then he sat there for a while. And pretty soon he says, "There's something I have to tell you." "Oh, really? What?" He says, "Well, it's this house." I said, "What do you mean?" Now, my daughter April was standing there taking all this. My children are hearing all this, you know. Anyway, April says, "Well, that's why you got up early this morning?" He says, "Yes." She says, "I got up. I had to go outside and see if this was the house." He says, "I laid in that bed this morning when I woke up, and I felt the same peace I had when I had my vision down there in Central America." And he got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, went outside and checked to see if that blue, if the house was white and if it had blue writing on it. And it did, because it was an old clinic, you know, and they had painted over where it said clinic. And you could still see lightly the blue writing. And he knew that was the house. And he knew it from the sweet spirit he felt there in bed, but he just had to confirm it. The Lord prepared them. You know, he brought them from different points in the world, took them all the way to Central America, and brought them to our house so we could share the gospel with them. And that's been a real blessing in my life. And I just trust, you know, that that you will find people out there that might say, where else could I go? Amen? If we make ourselves available, He'll bring them to us. God bless you.